I'm going to share something this week, and it's going to go into probably a whole another series starting even next week. I've been talking about the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we really are about that and about that direction of aiming for God's kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven, I think that just opens up so many different spectrums of living, of direction, of intentional involvement of God and giving God all of that God is in my life. It seems like my mind is getting blown up or exploding on a regular basis, and I gotta like hone it in and say, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, just how do you want us to go today and this week here at the Salt Mine and this year, 2019? Wow, it's 2019, guys. Shoot, it's almost Christmas again, right? Just about. Just teasing. Come on, guys. Let's have some fun this morning a little bit. But this direction, you know, Robin and I were talking, and she said, "Well, why is this? Why are you going that direction? Why is this?" And it's like, I don't know. It's just not leaving my brain. It's not leaving my space. So it's the direction I feel like the Lord wanting us to go. But then this scripture, this passage came, and it's in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And this is an interesting. And as you read this. Just in the New King James Version, if you can pop it up there, Mike, it's pretty good. This is a passage that's actually quoted by referring to John the Baptist, and it's interesting though. But as we look into this verse, listen to this though. He says, "And God, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." But when we read ahead of that, when I go through and you read that whole chapter of Malachi chapter 4, listen to this. I want us to go ahead and go back and read this, because I think it's laying a groundwork for what He's doing even today. Today in our culture, in our society, as on earth as it is in heaven. It says, "For behold, the day is coming." And that day that He's referring to is the great day. It says, "Burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts." Boy, it sounds like kind of like, boy, if that isn't about fire and brimstone, I don't know what is. Gloom and doom. But let's read on. It says, "And that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb and all of Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." That prophetic word that Malachi is speaking is both not just as the coming of the Messiah, the King, as Savior, but it's also speaking into this future that we are now in, which is the returning of the King of Kings to take back that which is He paid a price for, to restore that which was intended to be that perfect creation, which is and still is, that God is wanting to restore, bringing back into His complete wholeness, which is us and the earth with it. I think this is amazing and awesome, but here's, do you catch though something that's happening though that needs to happen, that so many times we get caught up in the in prophecies that are about whether it's Israel, America, or different times and different things that are happening, we forget this one, I think, so many times. And it's the one that I think is most precedent because it's the one we deal with on a regular basis, on an everyday, continuous living life, is where does my heart lie? And he says, here's what's going to happen. And here's what's happening is I will return the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. That's awesome. So let's look at this. I believe that this is precedence. This is the groundwork of the return of the king. You guys with me? I just blew your minds up, didn't I? Now, I was told that this week as I sometimes I'm going and the Holy Spirit's speaking and I'm looking for a response and interaction and an involvement and somebody told me, it's like, well, dude, you're just blasting our minds out of the water. I don't know what you expect us to do. It's like, it's not me. And it's because actually as these words are coming out of my mouth, my mind's getting blasted too. So let's go do this together. You guys with me? All right, good. I'll take it. I like this passage. It's a verse in Romans chapter 9, and I don't just like it. I think it speaks something to where we're at today. And listen to this. And in the context of Romans chapter 9, you know, if you read it in the context of it, he's referring to so much of what the Gentiles in their disposition, their how they perceive themselves called of God in light of calling Israel God's chosen. And now God's chosen grafted in are the Gentiles, which are us. Woohoo! Come on, I want to get a woohoo out of that. Hallelujah. Yeah. But this verse is interesting in Romans chapter 9. I think it's if it doesn't describe our culture and our day to day, I don't know what does. Verse 20, he says, no, don't say that. But I'm going to go to quote this. It says, who are you, a mere human being? This is in the New Living Translation. A mere human being to argue with God. Should the thing that which was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? You know, there's been a lot of lies spoken from the very beginning that Satan is behind all of them. You guys remember the first one? Almost the very first lie, if I could go back and if I thinking of it, is to the lie that was told to man, was what? Did God really say? And here's another lie that he's promoting in culture, in our minds, in people's, why did you make me like this? It's almost as though mankind has taken the role of, even though we are the clay, we're saying to the potter, how dare you form me in that fashion? Almost to where we're saying to the potter, to the master potter, I don't think you intended to make me like this. This isn't really how I'm designed to be. Why is that so crucial today? Why is that so crucial today? If we go back to Malachi and say, if God is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, why is that so crucial when the prominent attitude and perspective is, I'm not made that way? I said it last week. I said it, and I think I'm going to say it again a few times. Satan hates well-defined people, men and women. Satan hates well-defined men and women of God. He hates you. If you are well-defined, he hates you with a passion because you will wreak absolute havoc on his plans to steal, kill, and destroy. You reek. You throw the biggest monkey wrench in his plans to bring down all of God's chosen, prized creation, mankind. You guys realize that? I don't know about you, but I want to be a Satan. I want to be hated by Satan. And that might scare you a little bit. But don't be scared, because being hated by Satan is actually a good thing. I need you to know that. I need you and take solace in that. Courage and take confidence. Take actually rest and peace in that. Because guess what? Hated by Satan means you are covered by God. Amen. And according to the scriptures and according to all of history of mankind, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a good thing. It really is. It really is. There's a quote here. I'm going to read a couple of quotes. I was reading David Mathis is a writer for John Piper, so I'm going to read some. This is interesting, because I don't know if you guys, have you caught any of the Gillette ads that are going up that are really popular right now? You guys caught that? This is a popular thing that's happening. And when I say popular, it's a hot topic, right? The best a man can be. What's that? They're trying to.
Why's gotta be a man?
Yeah, trying to. Making everything, make it. Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, the liberal left hates what they're promoting right now. If he can confuse you, he is a winner, and he's having you for chicken dinner. I don't want to be no chicken dinner for the devil. No way. Nope. Listen to this though. Listen to this. The concept of young men and women having a confident, positive role is a Christian message that has been preached, presented, lived out for a very long time. It has been the progressive, enlightened, and I say that with extreme sarcasm, it's the progressive, enlightened left and the media that encouraged several generations of young children to indulge their every desire outside of morality or social structures like marriage. Listen to this. Listen to these stats. 70% of youths in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from homes without fathers or structure. 90% of all homeless and runaway children grew up without structure from a father. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 85% of all rapists motivated by displaced anger are from structureless, fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes without a father. No definition. No definition causes our youth to float, whichever direction, culture, or their emotions so decide to push them. I'm going to go on because these quotes get better. Preaching this kind of message, by the way, will not grow our church. I'm okay. I want you guys to know truth. I want you to be defined, well-defined. That's my desire, my passion as a pastor, is to see you well-defined, and Satan hates you. I want Satan to hate you. Oh, man, it's so bad. It's like, bring it up. Maybe be careful. Be careful. I'll stop there. Both young men and women have been told for decades to sexually objectify themselves and consider their impulses sacred rights rather than denying themselves or sacrificing through responsible behaviors. I need to put my finger there because I don't want to lose that spot, but this is next week's little Givey commercial is living Christian sacrificial life. We've been talking about it with the boys, huh? Yeah. Oh, Trevor. Oh, he's looking. He's awake. Good job. He's even paying attention. And what that looks like. And man, it's fun looking into it. I get like it excites me because it's like this is what it's about, living the sacrificial Christian life. In culture, when I say culture, I'm referring to that which is trying to present, and it's really, I don't want to just like okay, just bash everything that's not right. I'm not. That's not what I'm about this morning. It's really just giving us a place of. I want us to understand that God's grace is sufficient. Not just understand it, but know it. So listen as we go on. This is good stuff. Really, it's really great stuff. The culture has downgraded marriage and the family to, at best, be a comic annoyance that one grows out of, or at worst, a repressive and unhealthy, outdated concept that should be rejected. The obsession with celebrating single motherhood as an act of feminist self-determination and a society that views fathers suspiciously as optional caregivers has denied far too many young men and women sufficient role models. And he goes on and he says, an overly sexualized media combined with an overly violent entertainment culture has left generations of boys and girls growing up with only TV shows and YouTube channels to guide them. Fathers have been largely neglected and are often only celebrated when denouncing their masculinity and embracing their feminism. It's about as perverted as it can be. It says, while the loud progressives scoff at this line of reasoning and has for a very long time, the truth is everything they lecture us about proper male behavior today, they aggressively shamed out of society a generation ago. This is simply what happens when the father's authority in family life is denounced, shamed, and cut out altogether. Boys and girls are not lost because of toxic masculinity. They are lost because their fathers have been taken away from them and they cannot figure out how to fill that void in with anything but rage and shame. So this social change that Gillette and progressive activists want, it turns out, is to return to the moral and social values that the Christian biblical worldview has been shouting from the rooftops for decades. I say, stay 17 inches. I love that illustration. I love it. I know Robin kind of checks out when I use sports illustrations, but no, not really. She listens. You don't remember from last week? Oh, you're going to make me say it again? Oh, okay. There's two people that weren't here. John Scalinas was a baseball coach, college baseball coach for over 50 years. And as they gathered together in this American Baseball Association, and he was giving a speech. And as he gave his speech, he had a home plate hung around his neck. And the whole time he's giving this promotional speech and this basically hoorah speech about baseball and talking about things, he never mentioned anything about the home plate, a life-size home plate hanging around his neck. And so as everybody was listening to him, they started like thinking, what's this crazy old guy doing with a home plate hanging around his neck? And finally at the end he says, I bet you're wondering why I have this home plate around my neck. Everybody says, yeah, exactly. And so he says, well... says, if you have a pitcher that you bring up into the major leagues, says, if he's struggling to throw the ball over the plate, the strike zone, says, because that strike zone is 17 inches. What we don't do in baseball, we have never done, we never will in baseball, from T-ball to the major leagues, from Babe Ruth to, who's the best player now? I'm going to go with Buster Posey. I know. We could go with some other guys out there, but basically from the beginning to the end, when somebody can't throw the ball over the home plate, what we don't do is we don't make the plate bigger. We don't make it 18, 19, 20, or 25 inches. We don't change home plate so that that pitcher will feel good about the pitches that he throws, instead of so that we don't baby him. We either send him down to the minor leagues and make him figure out how to throw a strike over the 17 inches. We don't change home plate to fit your feelings. And that's where we need to be. We need to stay 17 inches. We need to stay grounded in truth. We need to be established, sustained. We can't divert. We can't be tossed around by the culture, even by our own emotions. Stay solid. So I'm going to go back to what this is about, I think. And I think this is really cool, just listening to this. And as I was reading it, and let's just go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 through 28 says this. This is the truth, guys. You hear me? This is the truth that does not change. This is the truth that defines you, defines me, has defined us, and will always define us. Then God said, this is on the sixth day. Oh, this is a good day of creation. God had a good day on the sixth day. He did. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. You guys hear that? According to its kind. There was no evolvement from kind to kind. God said, and each kind came from the earth. That's awesome. I don't know. If you could just go there in your mind, give it a go, see what happens. It'll probably explode. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Two genders from the beginning, two genders still today, not 100. They say that there's over 100 genders right now. That confuses me more than anything on the planet. I don't get that. And Blake tried to explain it to me, and it's like, I still don't get it. Like, he was trying to base, he wasn't saying, explaining it as it's true. He's just saying that's where they're coming from. Of a mixture of kind to kind to kind to kind. When you mix kind to kind, cattle and man, who knows what kind of gender you get? Lizard, and it's basically, what's that? What's that? Yeah, that's a good point. And it comes down to, doesn't it, is what, how, or who we are identifying with that given moment. crazy. But it's where we're at. And it's, you know, and it's applauded. It's received as, wow, you are so courageous to speak and to embrace who you really are. I do follow and watch TED Talks. I don't know if any of you do or not. Stephen and I talk about them sometimes, and they're super weird, a lot of them. I've discovered recently that it's pushing an extreme liberal view, which is like, wow, okay, that's almost all that they're playing. Now, since the toxic masculinity is a hot topic, all they're playing and all they're presenting is how let's embrace the true person of how we feel. And almost every time that you hear that term, embrace the true you, I guarantee it, every single time, it's a presentation of live the homosexual life that you are called to live. Every time. Just tag it as that. I have never, not once, heard that phrase tagged to, it's how you are. Embrace it. You guys hear what I'm saying in this? So let's get to this, because I think it's so crucial for us to really understand this. And I believe it's for God. Listen. I guess it's more like for us to align ourselves with the truth of God and who God is and God's word when he says, before that day comes, I will return the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This is required. This is necessary for us to do that. You know, because the alternative to that is to continue go down this slippery slope, and it's super slippery and it's extremely steep of rejecting and neglect and turning away from my father, turning away from my children, and instead embracing the me and making it all about me and who I identify with and how I feel at the moment. You guys following with me on this? So it's really crucial for us to plant our stake, plant our feet in the truth of God's word, to where we're established, to where we're presenting a true message of hope and courage and life and love and very real acceptance. Very real acceptance. I do. Question. Hi, sweetie. Yeah, you have a question? That's a good question. She asked, do you think that the reason that the message of that's being presented to change genders is because they don't simply love themselves as they are? And you could say yes, but that it gets even deeper than that. It gets deeper than that simply because where I believe is where, and like I was talking about, where there's not a place of stability in a home, we have a place to float wherever we want to feel like floating. And how do I say it? I think I just need to say it and just go with it and face the consequences of it. If
the Band-Aid off?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, Robin and I have raised 4 children, and there's not a single one of them that are confused about who they are. And I say this by the grace of God. By the grace of God, God has given us a stable home. He has established a stable, well-defined home to where they are not confused about who they are in Christ, who they are as a male or a female, who they are as a follower of God, who they are as a husband, a loving husband and father, who they are as a potential wife. They're not confused about that at all. And what I'm saying is that the grace of God has established a home steady place for my children to grow and know their identity, know their definition, so much so that when everything in the culture is throwing this and that at them, and it's thrown it at them just as much as anybody else in the world, if not more so, they stand and they say, that's just not true. This is true. You guys following with me on that? Whether you like hearing that or not, I'm not puffing Robin and I up. I'm giving you a good example of what it looks like to do it good and right and in the Lord. Hello? Hey, I'm going to go on. It gets really good. I don't even know where I left off, but I'm going to go on from somewhere. I think I was reading a passage of Scripture, Genesis 1:24-28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now I'm going to jump to over chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. From the dirt. I like it. I like it. Did you realize that? And do you realize this, that in your biological makeup is of dirt? It's of dirt. And you know what? It's a good thing. The minerals that exist in your body are absolutely required for you to exist on this planet. God knew what He was doing. It's not an accident that you need all the minerals of this earth to exist. But isn't that trippy? I don't know. That just it trips me out a little bit that this is really from dirt. Then the Lord God took man. This is in verse 15 of chapter 2. Then the Lord God took man. This is where it gets good. I like this. Put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So here he's giving an account of God's giving us an account of how woman came about. This is good stuff, man. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, nor for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Did you realize this? The woman wasn't there yet. Hello? What's that put on the man? Responsibility. Responsibility. Authority. Dominion. Charge. You are responsible, man, for your home. The woman wasn't there. You can't keep blaming it all on her. Well, you can, but... Yeah, you guys know the rest. So, and the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that man should be alone. That too is a truth. For I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And I don't want to insert the stupid joke that is out there that I don't like it. The whole, oh, what can I get for an arm and a leg? Well, that's a little too costly. What can I get for a rib? And then here comes woman. That's, you guys heard that joke? It's stupid. It's offensive. It's offensive. It's repulsive. I don't like it. I had a pastor, right, Mike? we were meeting breakfast with a couple of pastors, and he said, hey, pastor, tell this joke next Sunday. He's like, oh, gosh, I hate that joke. Anyway, good. What's that? I know, and it was stupid. I was telling you how dumb it was and how stupid and how much I disagree with it. I can't believe pastors tell that from the pulpit. Because it's such a beautiful thing that what God did here. I don't want to make light of it because it really is a gorgeous, beautiful, amazing thing that God did here. Caused him to go into a deep sleep, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now there's 2 points I want to make out of this, and the Holy Spirit has got a couple things he wants to say. First point is this, is what God saw that man needed was a woman. And it wasn't as though God, I know we pray, it's like, well, God brought all these animals and saw that it wasn't what, it was a comparable helper. What God really was saying in that comparable helper is this, and this is one thing that I need us to understand, and I believe it to be 100% accurate and respectful and a right perspective on the relation between man and woman is, and if you're at all wise, you'll hear it and see it this way. Is that God gave man, formed woman out of man, and gave woman to man as a comparable, suitable helpmate. And what that wording means is a helpmate that is one like God. In other words, what God saw that Adam needed was somebody to be like God for man. Somebody that was there as a suitable helpmate. Almost as though the Holy Spirit. And how many of you men can testify to that your wife is as good as speaking to you as the Holy Spirit? Okay, the rest of you got a lot of growing up to do and learning, and you'll get it one day. But you'll see and you'll realize that God gave man a woman. God gave man, God gave, how do I say it? Adam. Eve as the suitable helpmate. In other words, God said, I see that man needs a helper like he needs me. That's awesome. That's awesome, and that's really, really, really cool, and it's a lot of responsibility and accountability to each other, in each other, through each other. Woman, that's a lot of responsibility on you. Hello? Okay, are you guys not liking this? I know it's difficult to hear, but it's true. It's the deep end. Man, that's a lot of responsibility to respect and love your wife as Christ loved the church. Hello? Woman, that's a lot of responsibility to be that helpmate to your husband as God is to him. Whoa, that's deep. And that's really good. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry you don't like it. You got to just throw the whole Bible out and just, because that's the beginning. That's the beginning of relationship. I know we don't like it, and it doesn't fit into our culture. It doesn't fit into this day and age in which, you know, we're all like, oh, well, I don't know. Let's just move on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to a friend yesterday, and I was saying how, you know, Xavier is the leader of our family. And mm-hmm. Even this morning we were talking about that before we came in.
Amen. Yeah. Good stuff. Amen. And that's a lot of responsibility on the man to be the leader, to be that which God called him to be, to have and be responsible. But it's also a lot on the woman to trust the man, right? It is. It is. It is. Robin is such a good example to me as she does that in front of me and in front of our home, in our home on a regular basis, is to, by faith, trust that God is going to use me to lead our home and our family as God leads me. Right? When it gets out of sync or out of whack or it gets perverted, it creates a the definition, basically what it comes down to is when that's not correct, that family dynamic, the kids, the children find definition incorrectly of who they are. When a woman is, where's the pants in the family, so to speak, or where's, is the head, the definition that the children find is not God's definition. I know that there's a lot of issues at stake even here in this day, and, I know Kathy talks a lot about how, there was a place that she had to fill as man and woman, father and mother in her home. But understanding that that role is not how it's designed to be, but yet at the same time what God has given her the grace to be in her home to do it well and as best that she can is something that I think is also a noble cause to do. So I know that there's situations, and I don't think there is anybody in this room that comes from the perfect home. We're all dysfunctional. I think almost everybody here comes from some sort of dysfunctional family upbringing. Except maybe Kristen and Jenny, you guys are about, you have no excuses. Yeah, David doesn't count. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing you guys. But let me get to the second point of what this passage of Scripture also says in here, and this is just kind of a little side note that you take away from it, if you will, is you note that God took the rib out of Adam, and from that rib formed woman. Hey, did you realize something though? Guess what? I don't know. This is like really this. And I asked the Lord about it, and he said, well, that's how he did it. Man is formed from dirt. Woman is formed from a rib. So women, you are just, that's why you're so stinking beautiful. You don't come from dirt. That's why you always smell nice, and look nice. You can say, well, yeah, indirectly from dirt, because from man who came from dirt, I guess women came from, anyway. But what he's also saying in that too is that he took a portion of man out of man and created woman from that. Out of man. That's also saying this is, there's a definitive difference between male and female. Hello?
Yes, sir.
There's a definitive difference between male and female.
I don't see where all the confusion comes from.
It's not that confusing. God did it that way. He said, I took the woman out of man, and he didn't put a portion back into him. In other words, I know you guys are, don't get in touch with your feminine side. You don't have one. He took it out of you. Hello? You could have different things that go on inside you, but you don't have a feminine side. I know the culture wants to say you do, but you don't.
Not by nature.
And it's not by design. I might get flack for that one, but that's all right. I want us to hear what the truth of the Holy Spirit wants us to know today as far as being defined. Because listen to this, and this is something that I've been discovering as walking with the Lord through this, and His grace is sufficient. And you know, here's, as a young man, you know, when I believe I was, how old are you, Blake? You're 29, right? I'm 50, so I would be, how old would I have been when we had you? 21. Thank you. See, guys, math counts. You should learn it. Well, you don't have to ask everybody how to do it. Yeah. Think about it. I didn't know what I was doing as a dad. I'm going to tell you this. I didn't really know what I was doing as a father. But this is so awesome. And so much so that I had to write this down, that the Holy Spirit gave me to this. With that in mind, listen to this. Listen to this. My grace is sufficient for you, even if you don't realize, recognize, or understand it. Simply set your heart and mind and strength on me, and I will do more than you see. I will do more than just see you through. I will hold you, sustain you, and empower you to be victoriously all that I have created you to be. Did you hear that? I need to read that again. The Holy Spirit gave this to me this morning. My grace is sufficient for you, even if you don't realize, recognize, or understand it. In other words, I didn't know what I was doing being a dad. And God's grace was sufficient for me to get me through that. Not just like, you know, pay the bills. It was like, wow, there was stuff that was happening as we were growing and rearing our children up that God was doing, and I didn't even realize it, understand it, or even recognize it. But God was doing it. Because why? Because my heart, my head, and my entire everything was set on Him. And He said, you don't know how to do this, Eric, but that's okay. I do. You just stay the course, set your heart, mind, and strength on me, and my grace will be sufficient to see you through it, more than see you through it. And that's what's awesome. It was more than just see me through it. There was a victorious outcropping of fruit that came out of that. Hello? That's the glory of God. So let's steadfastly hold fast to God's perfect design. And it should remain, it should be our aim. Men and women are still created in the image of God, both male and female. The male to provide, protect, and promote. Provide, protect, and promote. Those are the three that I got out of it. I know there's a lot more and there's much into that. The female, to nurture, which is to feed, protect, support, encourage, train, educate, develop. And from what I've witnessed when Robin has done this, is to, listen to this, she's also done this. To discerningly see the fullest potential in a person and not lose sight of it and do whatever it takes to get me there. Notice how I said me. I know. It's a bum deal, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe because I'm up here saying it.
We didn't design it.
Yeah. Actually, the word is simply nurture. But when you look up what it means to nurture, it's everything. It's all of that. But that's what we're created to be. And that's when God designed us to be that. And when we jack it up, when we screw it up, when we try to alter it, and we try to say, when we say, as in Romans where he said this, is that, well, why did you make me like this? That's not how I'm supposed to be. We're messing up God's design and definition of what it is to be male and female. I know that it's deep, and there's so much more to it. But sometimes it's just simple. Sometimes it's just simple. And it's obvious why Satan hates well-defined men and women of God. You put the biggest monkey wrench in his plans to steal, kill, and destroy. And I will tell you this. Satan can and will throw the kitchen sink at you. But you will stand. you will stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Man, that's a good word. You will stand. And after we've done everything to stand, may we stand firm on who you've defined us, created us, and designed us to be. Children of God, both male and female, serving you with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with all that is in us. And still to this day, your grace is sufficient. Even when I don't see it, when I don't recognize it, when I don't understand it, your grace is sufficient. And it will get more than get me through it. It will make me victorious, a conqueror in Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for truth. Thank you for you. Thank you for designing us perfectly in your image. May we bring glory to you in all we do. We ask you sustain us. You hold us by your mighty right hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.